Today's daf is Sukkah daf Tesvav. We are holding on the top of Tesvav Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah on Tesvav Amud Aleph. Today we're going to discuss if you have a roof that is made out of boards. Yesterday we discussed whether a roof is allowed to be made out of boards, whether a schach, rather, is allowed to be made out of boards. Now we're going to discuss if you already have a roof that's made out of boards. Is there any way to fix it? L'shem Sukkah, there's going to be a machlokas in the Mishnah, how to fix such a roof, and then a discussion in the Gemara, what kinds of concerns we're trying to address with the fixes that the Mishnah suggests. Is it a concern of Tasav Laman Asui? Is it a concern of Xeris Tikra? And we're going to have ultimately two explanations why it is that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda disagree about the same thing in two consecutive Mishnayos. They're disagreeing presumably about Xeris Tikra in two consecutive Mishnayos, and we're going to go back to explain how our Mishnah could fit both the Shita of Rav and the Shita of Shmuel in yesterday's daf. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to tell us how to make a sukkah with schach pasul into a sukkah kshera, and whether that proves anything about, the Gemara is going to discuss whether that proves anything about the general sugya of paritz ka'omeh, that if you have 50-50 of something, so is that considered to be 50% good, or is it considered to be good, or is it considered to be bad? And then the last discussion of the daf is about sichuch bivla'i kelim. If you use things that used to be mekabel tumah, that were tameh, but now are worn out kelim, is that considered to be mesachech bedavar mekabel tumah, or is that not considered to be mesachech bedavar mekabel tumah because it's no longer something that is tameh? So let's pick up from the Mishnah, Tesvav Amud Aleph at the top. Tikra sheina le'maziva. If you have a roof that looks like a normal roof, except that it's not yet plastered down. Apparently, the way they would make the roofs is they would first put all the beams down on the roof, and then they would plaster it all together. Now the plaster itself is made out of sand, and the plaster is not roy for schach, it's definitely schach pasul. So once you already have the maziva, once you already have the plaster holding the schach together, holding the beams together and holding the beams down, then it's certainly going to be pasul. There's not going to be anything you could do about it. But we're talking at the point where all you have is the beams running across the top of the room. So is there a way to make this room kosher for a sukkah? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so Rabbi Yehuda says, it's a machlokish Beisham Beis Hillel, that Beishamai Omrim mefakfeik v'nota lachas mebinatayim. Beishamai says, you need to do two things. First, you need to move each beam, you need to shake each beam a little bit, and you also need to remove every other beam. That you can't have a consecutive ceiling of beam after beam, you need to remove every other beam. Beis Hillel says, no, you don't need to do both of those things. Mefakfek o no talachas mibinatayim. You could do one or the other. Either you can move each beam, or you can remove every other beam without moving the other beams. Rashi explains, Beisil mefakpek mishum tasav lo menasli. Beisil's concern is tasav lo menasli, that if you were to just leave your roof the way it is, that's a violation of tasav lo menasli, that you're not making your sukkah l'shem tzel, that the sukkah is sort of just there. So vein tzarech laseis pesel, you don't need to actually put a new schach down at all. Rabbi Yudel Taimei, the machshir b'nesarim sheish ben dal l'schach, and this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso, because the way Rav understood Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that if you have beams that are four tefachim wide, that's perfectly fine as schach kasher. So this is perfectly kasher as schach. The only issue is tasav lo menasli, and that's why you just need to do something. And I, how Shmuel can understand this, if we're talking about four tefach wide beams, remember Shmuel in yesterday's Zav said that when you're dealing with beams that are less than three tefachim, everyone agrees that's perfectly good. That's what we call schach. When you're dealing with beams that are in between three and four tefachim, that's when we have machlok shomei Rabbi Yehuda, whether you're allowed to use it as schach or not. When you're dealing with beams that are more than four tefachim, then everyone agrees it's no good. So how could Shmuel understand the Shita Beis Hillel? That the Gemara is going to deal with. Because after all, l'chora, it should not be enough to be mefakbek. You should have to actually replace them with schach kasher. You should need to put schach kasher down, because beams that are more than four tefachim are in fact schach pasul. So the idea though is, and the Mishnah never says it explicitly, but Rashi seems pretty clear that our Mishnah must be talking about beams that are four tvachim wide, that our Mishnah is not talking about narrower beams. Tosos, after quoting the entire Rashi, points out Vadini Mo, that Rashi has to be correct about this. Shepirish came to Batikrash and Asarim Shalah Rechav Marba'a Airi, that our Mishnah is talking about beams that are four tefachim wide. That must be true, that must be correct. Distam Tikra Kachi, because that's what a normal roof is made out of. And after all, the Mishnah only introduced us to this case by saying it's a regular roof, you just haven't plastered it yet. So since normal roofs are made out of four tefach wide beams, it's got to be that it's that's what the Mishnah is talking about, four tefach wide beams. Umidipasli nesedal mishum gzeres tikra alma stam tikra kachaya. And after all, if that's the magic number to pasul a sukkah, to pasul something to be used as schach because of gzeres tikra, well, why did they make a gzeres tikra dafka on four tefach wide beams? Because that's a typical tikra. So when our Mishnah introduces us to a tikra and doesn't give us any other details about it, it is natural to assume that we're talking about a tikra that's made of beams that are four tvachim wide. Other Rishonim, however, the Ramban and the Melchamos and the Ritva, are not so pleased with this ukimta of Rashi, that Rashi assumes the Mishnah is talking about four tafach wide beams, because they ask in Rashi, how is it possible to say that if you're Mesachich bin Asarim that are four tvachim wide, that according to, well, let's read the end of the Mishnah first. Rameir Omer, no talachas mi benetayim veinu mefakpek. Rameir says, you can only remove every other beam, that's your only solution, and being mefakpek, moving them around, is not going to help. So the Rishonim ask that if you're Mesachich bin Asarim that are four tvachim wide, that according to Rav Alibid Rameir in yesterday's daf, what would Rav say? Rav said that the machlokas is only when they're more than four tefachim wide, and that's where a mayor is going to say it's pasul. And according to Shmuel, even Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's asa l'sachibam again, because Shmuel said in yesterday's daf, four tefachim wide, there's not even a machlokas from Rabbi Yehuda. Four tefachim wide, everyone would say it's aser. So how could it be that by moving it around or removing one of the beams from in between, that's going to be machshu the sukkah? Because does moving it around and taking one from in between, is that better than being mesakich meikara? Meaning if you were to actually put these beams on your sukkah, l'shem schach, you have a pasul sukkah. Let's make it easy. Let's say according to Shmuel's understanding in yesterday's daf, that every Tana agrees, Shmuel says, that once you're dealing with four tefach wide beams, they're absolutely usher. So if you put it down as your schach, that's no good. Then you have a sukkah psula. Oh, but if it's there as the roof of your house, then you shake it around and all of a sudden those same beams that if you were to put there as schach would give you a sukkah psula, those same beams all of a sudden are going to be okay just because you shook it around a little bit. The Rishonim said, it can't be. That's something that you can't put there as schach. Once it's there, you just shake it and all of a sudden it becomes okay to use as schach. So that's why these Rishonim explain that we're speaking about the Ramban, the Ritva explain, we're talking about beams that are less than four tefachim wide. And had it not been that they are the Tikras Habayis, you would have been able to use them as regular schach l'chadchila. The whole psul is that they were put there l'shem bayis, meaning the fact that they were not put there l'shem schach makes them more strict, makes it more of a problem. So the whole psul is that they were put there l'shem bayis. So it's a din of tasav lo manasvei, and there's also a gzeres tikra over here. So that's why we have to be concerned about both of these issues, simply because that the kavana in placing them there was l'shem bayis. So there's much room to be gozer that someone's going to confuse this with a regular house. So, but if you were to put it l'chadchila l'shem schach, that would be no problem because we're dealing with beams that are less than four tefachim wide. The Magen Avraham writes in Tafresh Lamed Aleph Sivkan Ches that even those who say that four tefach wide beams are going to be usher, that's only if you're machsher al yidei pikpuk, if you try to be machsher it by shaking it or by moving them around. So that, because then you have a chashash that people are going to see it and they're not going to know that you move those beams at all, and they're going to be matir to sit under tikras sabayis. But if you're no talachas mi benetayim, where everyone will see what happened, everyone will see see that you put Pesel there instead, that you took out every other beam and you put Schach Kosher in its place, so then Lukuli Alma, it's going to be Mutter, even if it's Rachav Dalit, even if it's more than 4 Tvachim wide. So why did Rashi not want to say like these Rishonim? So the Pnei Yeshua just points out, and it's Davar Pashut why he didn't, but he points out that Rashi didn't want to say like these Rishonim because the Gemara, if you say that we're dealing with beams that are less than 4 Tvachim wide, the Gemara would not have asked what it's going to ask, which is, why do we need Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda to argue again about Gezeiras Tikra? They already argued about Gezeiras Tikra once. Well, why would the Gemara ask that? We would have a simple answer. The first time they argued about Gezeiras Tikra, they were dealing with beams that are 4 Tvachim wide. Now they're arguing about Gezeiras Tikra with beams that are less than 4 Tvachim wide that you put there, L'shem a roof. So that would be why they argue twice. Why would the Gemara even ask that question? So that's what leads Rashi to assume that everything else must be equal, that we must be talking about beams that are 4 tefachim wide. Aye, what's Rashi going to do with the kasha that all the Rishonim ask on him? Why is it any better to have beams there already, l'shem, a roof, and to shake them or move them, rather than to put them there, l'chadchila, l'shem, schach? So Rashi understands. Rashi says explicitly in Dibra Maskel B'Bitule Tikra, which we'll see later in the Gemara, that it's more mistaver to be machshir when you move them around than when you put them there l'shem schach in the first place, because when you're mefakpek, when you move them around, you're megalit that you realize that there is a problem of tasam laman asui, and you're trying to fix that problem. So there's no reason to, and that's why we're not going to be gozer mishum gzeres tikra, as opposed to when we're mesachich b'tchila, we have to worry that the guy himself is going to come to sit in his house, because he's not going to distinguish between this and his house. So the machlokas Rashi and the Rishonim may actually center around who are we choshish for the gzeres tikra? Are we choshish for the guy himself, or are we choshish for what other people will see, that it will look like a tikra for other people? Okay, let's see the Gemara. So it says the Gemara, Bishlam beis Hillel tamayu mishum tasav laman asli. So what did beis Hillel say in our Mishnah? According to Rabbi Yehuda, beis Hillel holds that you have the option of either mefakbek, either shake the beams that are there, or take out every other beam and replace them with schach kosher. So I understand Beis Hillel Taimai Mishum Tasav Lomanasli. Beis Hillel is concerned about Tasav Lomanasli, so he requires you to do something. You need to do some sort of maisa, whether it be shaking the beam, whether it be replacing every other beam. E mefakbek avale maisa. So if you're mefakbek, you shake the beam a little bit, so then you've done a maisa. And e no talachas mimbeinatayim avid b'maisa. And if you take out, if you remove every other beam and replace it with schach kosher, you've also done a maisa, so that's perfectly good. Ela beis shammai mai tamayu. But what's the svara for the beis shammai? Why does beis shammai hold, again, according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding, why does beis shammai hold that you need to do both? You need to be mefakvek vino talachas mein taim. If Beis Shammai's concern is Tasav Lo Menasui, so just do something. Why do you have to do both things? Why would you have to do multiple things? Just do one or the other. And Imishum Gzeres Tikra, and if the concern is Gzeres Tikra, well then you don't have options of what to do, but you would have to Benot Alachas Benetayim Sagi. You would have to remove every other beam in order to not have a Tikra, in order to not have anything that resembles a Tikra. Being Mefakpek won't help for Gzeres Tikra, so you should only have one option, but that's all you should require. You certainly shouldn't need to do both things. So what is Beis Shammai's concern? Says Gemara, Liolam Mishum Gzeres Tikra. Beis Shammai's concern is Gzeres Tikra, that this looks like a regular roof. You have all these beams on top of your sukkah, it looks like a regular roof. So how do you solve that problem? So what was our question? That according to Beis Shammai, all you should need to do is remove every other beam and replace it with Schach Kasha. Why does Beis Shammai also require being Mefakpek? Savachi Kamri. What Beis Shammai is saying is as follows. Not that you need to be Mefakpek, that you need to move the beams also. No, what they're trying to say is, Afal Pisha Mefakpek, Ino Talachas Minatayim In, Ilo Lo. Even if you do shake the beams, that hasn't done anything for you. You still need to remove every other beam. Beis Shammai is essentially reacting to Beis Hillel, even though it's Beis Shammai comes first always. Beis Shammai seems to react, and Beis Hillel gives you options. Do A or B, either be mefakbek or remove every other beam. And Beis Shammai is saying, if you're mefakbek, you're still going to have to remove every other beam, so you might as well just remove every other beam. That's going to solve your problem alone anyway, because the whole problem is gzeiras tikra. Good, so says the Gemara, I hachi, but if that's what Beishamai is saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ema Seifa, but then the Seifa of the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Meir holds that Rabbi Meir Omer, no talachas made in time, avalo yifatbek. That Rabbi Meir says that all you need to do is remove every other beam and not to be mefakbek. You do not need to be mefakbek. Well, Rabbi Meir hainu Beishamai. Well, then Rabbi Meir is saying the same exact thing as the Beishamai. Meaning, the way the Mishnah plays out, according to the way we just explained it, is Rabbi Yehuda holds there's a machlok. Rabbi Yehuda informs us that there's a machlokas Beishamai. Beis Hillel had to deal with this situation of multiple beams, consecutive beams on top of your roof. The Beis Hillel holds you need to do, you have two options of what to do. Beis Shammai holds, no, you only have one option. And then Rav Meir says, I agree with Beis Shammai. I think you only have one option, and that option is to remove every other beam. So how could Rav Meir hold like Beis Shammai? So it says, no, what Rav Meir is saying is not that he holds like Beis Shammai, that he agrees with what Rabbi Yehuda is reporting, that this in fact was a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that he's holding like Beis Shammai. He disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda's tradition of this machlokas. He says there never was such a machlokas. Lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel bedavar zeh. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel never disagreed about this. Everybody agreed that all you need to do is no talachas mi benatayim, and that's all that's going to work anyway. Even Beis Hillel would agree that the whole concern is only gzeiras tikra, and there's no concern of tasav lo menasui. So that's the machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda assumes that Beis Hillel is concerned only about tasav lo menasui, and there's no gzeiras tikra. Rabbi Meir holds that the Beis Hillel and the Beis Shammai, everybody agrees that there is a gzeiras tikra, that we're worried that this looks too much like a roof. So says Gemara, okay, now that we're explaining the Mishnah that way, that it turns out that Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about gzeiras tikra, Rabbi Meir is worried about gzeiras tikra, my kamashmalin, Rabbi Meir is like gzeiras tikra, Rabbi Yehuda less like gzeiras tikra. That's the great chiddush of our Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir is not worried about gzeiras tikra, and Rabbi Meir is worried about gzeiras tikra, and Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about gzeiras tikra. V'fliga b'chada zimna. We already had that machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Ditnan, the Mishnah said, Mesachin binisarim divri Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you're allowed to use boards as schach. Rabbi Meir also, Rabbi Meir says, you're not allowed to use boards as schach. So we had that exact machlokas in yesterday's daf. We already discussed whether you're allowed to be mesachich binisarim. Why would we have two consecutive Mishnayis with the same machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara has two answers, two approaches. Answer number one, Amrav Chia bar Abba Amrav Yochanan, Reisha b'nisarim mishufin askinan umishum gzeres kelim naguba. Maybe we misunderstood yesterday's Mishnah, the previous Mishnah. Maybe it's not Stam talking about gzeres tikra, well, when they speak about being mesachich with nisarim. They're talking about nisarim mishufin, boards that are smoothed out and are usable as kelim, as pshute kliyates. They're usable as kelim, and that's the question. What Rameh and Rabbi are arguing about is, should we be gozer that those are similar to kelim? If you look at Rashi, Amar Abchia Bar Abba, Reisha Lav Mishum Gzeres Tikra Iflug. The previous Mishnah is not about Gzeres Tikra. El Ben Asarim Shena Bnei Arba'a. We're dealing with boards that are less than four tvachim wide. Avul Meshufin Ein Vechalakim. They're smoothed out. They're sanded down and they're smooth. V'ru'uyin L'Tashmish, and they can be used. Umishum Gzeres Kelim Nagubal Livsal Alibid Rabbi Meir. Afagav De Pshuti Kliyetz Nin Avlamakal Tuma. Remeir is mechadesh that even though these are pshute kliyates, they're flat kliyates that don't have a base kibble, there's no receptacle in them at all, it's just a flat piece of wood, still Rabbi Meir is going to be gozer that it's too similar to a kli if it's been smoothed out, and that's why he's going to have a problem he's going to say that it's possible in the previous Mishnah, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's no problem, that there is no gzeres kelim. So it says Rabbi Yehuda Merav Damar Sicha Bechitz and Zachar bechitzin zecharim ksheira b'nekevos psula v'lo gazer zecharim atu nekevos hachanami lo nigzer nesor meshufin atu kelim. But wait a second, according to Bida Merav, that if you're mesachich with the part of the arrow, the male part of the arrow, the part of the stick part of the arrow that goes into the point that goes into the sharp edge, so it's kosher because it's just pshutei kliyetz. But if you use nekevos, the female part of the arrow, the point pointy edge that receives the male part, so that's going to be possible. And apparently he never made a gzeira that you're not allowed to use zecharim, lest you might come to use the nekevos also. Apparently there is no such gzeira, so maybe there shouldn't be any gzeira here either. We shouldn't be gozer nesarim meshufim atu kelim. We shouldn't be gozer smooth kliates, lest you might come to use regular kelim. So why would Rav Meir make the gzeira here and not make the gzeira by the arrows? Now it's a little bit odd. The Achronim point out that the Pnei Shur points out that who's the one that suggested this answer, that the previous Mishnah was talking about Nesarim Meshufin? It was Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Bechibar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That the previous Mishnah was not about Gzeiras Tikra, it was all about Gzeiras Kalim, whether we make a Gzeirah of Kalim or not. So how do we challenge Rabbi Yochanan? How could you, Rabbi Yochanan, say that it's all about Gzeiras Kalim, but didn't we learn from Rav that you're not allowed to, that there is no Gzeiras Kalim, that we're not going to make a gzeira on the male part of the arrow unto the female part of the arrow? So that's the Bnei Yeshua. You can't ask a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan because he's going against Rav, that he's going against Rav. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav always go against each other. They're bal pultas. They always argue with each other. Rabbi Yochanan and Rav were from very early generations of Amoraim, and you could ask a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from a Tana, but to challenge Rabbi Yochanan from an Amora is very difficult. How could you say that that he can't hold the gzeiras kelim because it's against Rav? That's a kasha the Bnei Yeshua asks. I didn't really follow the answer entirely, but okay, that's the kasha. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Kelim, Parak Beis Halacha Gimel, that a clay kibul that's asi lemalos is ena mekabel tuma. If you have a clay kibul that you're going to one day fill, and it has a receptacle, but that receptacle is made to be filled, that it's not mekabel tuma. So the Rashba Netshuva asks, why is it why is that any different than the female part of the arrow, which is asu lemalos, and you're still not allowed to use a schach, apparently, because it's mekabel tuma. Meaning, how could the Rambam say that any clay kibul that ultimately is going to be filled is not mekabel tuma, and lechora, therefore it means that it should be able to be used as schach. Yet we said the pointy part of the arrow, which receives the stick part of the arrow, since it has a clay kibul, it's mekabel tuma and cannot be used as schach. So which is it? Is it mekabel tuma or is it not mekabel tuma? Asked the Rashba. And the Yehuda Netshuvim at the Rekami Yardayasim and Sadivav is Miyashiv, just very simply. He says that when the Rambam says that a clay kibul asim nal is not mekabel tuma, he means it's not mekabel tuma mida oraisa, but on a drabbanan level, even if a clay kibul asim the malos could be mekabel tuma. And to make something with regard to sukkah, Tosus already said on Daf Hei Amud Aleph that you're not allowed to be mesachich even with that which is only mekabel tuma midrabanan. So beis kibul it's also the malos, at least is mekabel tuma midrabanan. So you wouldn't be allowed to be mesachich with that either. But back to the Tower Gemara. What was our Gemara's question? We had asked, why is it that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda argue in our Mishnah whether we're concerned about gzeiras tikra? Rabbi Meir is worried about gzeiras tikra. Rabbi Yehuda is not. Didn't they already argue in the previous Mishnah about gzeiras tikra? Our first attempt at an answer, the Gemara has rejected, that the previous Mishnah was not about gzeiras tikra at all. It was about gzeiras kelim. The Gemara rejected that because if there was such a concern of gzeiras kelim, we should have made that gzeira by arrows as well. So now we attempt a second try at an answer to this question. Ella al karcha. Reisha pligi b'gzeres tikra, v'seifa pligi b'gzeres tikra. Both the Reisha and the Seifa, both the previous Mishnah and this Mishnah, are arguing about gzeres tikra. V'fligi b'tarti zimni lamali. Why do they have to argue twice about the same exact machlokes? That was our question. So says the Gemara, the answer is simple. Seifa Rabbi Yehuda, deka amar le Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah is a continuation of the conversation that began in the previous Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says, I am worried about gzeres tikra. Rabbi Yehuda says, I am not. So now Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, Amayka asarta ben asarim, mishum gzeres tikra? What's your problem with using boards? You're worried about gzeres tikra? One very simple way to win a debate in later generations is by saying, I understand your shita. It's already been argued in previous generations. And guess what? It's been outvoted. So yes, I understand, Rav Meir. You're concerned about Gzeiras Tikra. You know who else was concerned about Gzeiras Tikra? Kshayras Tikra Beis Shammai, but we outvoted Beis Shammai. We hold like the Beis Hillel. In fact, that's what the whole reason that we have Machlokasim in the first place. Why we record Machlokasim, the Gemara says, why would you record a Machlokas if anyway we're going to pass like the Beis Hillel every single time, pretty much? So why do we have to record the Machlokas every time? So it says that's the exact reason. If someone, if a Chacham in a later generation is going to come along and say, well, I hold this, I came up with a new idea, I came up with a concern, an idea, we will be able to say, yes, yes, we understand. That's already been discussed, it's on record, and it's already been outvoted. So that's fine that you had that. You're not wrong, but you're wrong la'alacha. We're not going to accept that la'alacha. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is doing to Rabbi Meir. I understand your shita, it's just that it's already been outvoted. So Vam Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir responds, Lo nechlo b'sham yisol b'davar zeh. No, it has not already been outvoted. This has never been discussed. I have no such tradition that there was ever a discussion about this issue, about Gezeiras Tikra. So that's what Rabbi Meir's response is, that everyone agrees that there is a Gezeiras Tikra. So says the Gemara, Hanicha l'Rav. Now let's try to plug this back into our understanding of yesterday's major machlokas Amorayim. If you recall, Rav held that the whole machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is if you use beams that are 4 tefachim or larger. If the beams are less than 4 tefachim, everybody agrees that's perfectly kosher schach, there's nothing wrong with it, that's fine. The whole machlokas is only with beams that are larger than 4 tefachim. That's where Rabbi Meir says it's a problem. Rabbi Yehuda would say even that is totally fine. Shmuel had said that no, when you're dealing with beams that are larger than 4 tefachim, everyone would agree it's possible. Beams less than 3 tefachim, everyone agrees it's kosher. Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is between 3 and 4 tefachim. So says Gemara, Hani chal Rav, damar machlokas b'sheish ben arba'a. I understand according to Rav where the whole machlokas is only by beams that are 4 tefachim or larger. To Rabbi Meir is like Gzeiras Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda less like Gzeiras Tikra. There are Meir's concerned about Gzeiras Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about Gzeiras Tikra. El l'shmuel, but according to Shmuel, damar b'shein ben arba'a machlokas. That the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is by beams that are less than 4 tefachim wide. Aval yesh ben arba divrei hakol psula. But if the beams are more than 4 tefachim wide, everyone would hold that they're pasul. So then seifa b'may pligi. So what's the machlokas over here? How could they be arguing over here? We already said that beams, and let's assume like Rashi now, not like the Ramban, let's assume like Rashi and Tosos, that our Mishnah is talking about beams that are 4 tefachim wide. So if we're talking about beams that are 4 tefachim wide, how could there be any machlokas? According to Shmuel, there's no machlokas about beams that are 4 tefachim wide. Everyone would agree it's problematic. So why is there a machlokas in our Mishnah? So answers the Gemara, b'bitulei tikra kamiflegi, mar savar batla b'achi, umar savar b'achi lo batla. Essentially, that even though when beams are more than 4 tefachim wide, everybody agrees you're not allowed to place it on top of your sukkah as schach, when it's already there, you may be able to fix it and make it into kosher schach. Why would that be? Why would it be any better when it's already there than to place it originally as schach? Adrabah, the way the Ramban and the Ritva we mentioned before, the way they ask in Rashi is that the svar is the exact opposite. That if you put it there as a roof, then really that should be much worse than putting it there originally l'shem schach. If you put it there as a roof and you just make a few adjustments later, that should be worse than putting it there l'shem schach in the first place. Why is it any better? So Rashi explains, b'bitulei tikra, on the third wide line of Rashi, kolomar, amalach Shmuel, Shmuel will respond, li'olam b'shiyish ben arba v'lo isakan tikra mitchila. We're talking about 4 tefach wide beams and there was no roof here before. Va'achshav hubol l'sakech l'shem sukkah, and now you come to be m'sakech l'shem sukkah with these beams, in that case you're right. Afilu Rabbi Yehuda pasul. Everyone would agree that that's possible. That's Shmuel Shita. 4 tefach wide beams, everyone agrees you're not allowed to use. Tegazrin and Mishum Tikra, Shlo Yovav Yeshiv Tachos Koros Beso, that word goes there, Mishum Tikra, that a person shouldn't come to sit in his house. V'yomer Mali Zeh, Mali Chadasha, and he'll say, what difference does it make if I'm in this place, in this room or this other room? It's all a house, it all looks the same. Aval Hashta, but in our case it's different. Dezu Tikra Haisa, Ubali De Maisa, Lasos l'shem sukkah. This was a tikra. It was a regular roof. And now you're actively going out of your way to do something to make it better. So that's, and you're demonstrating that you know that there's an issue called tasav lomanasui. So pligi Rabbi Dvar Meir. That's our machlokas Rabbi Dvar Meir. Iikasulim igzar mishum tikra alo. Whether there's still more reason to be gozer mishum tikra or not. Rabbi Dusavar betuli tikra lebeisham etzarich litol mi ben atayim. The avlgav demochiach shabaki b'tasav lomanasui gazriba. Rabbi Yuda holds that according to Beis Shammai, you need to remove some of these boards because it's still a gzeras tikra. We're still worried that this looks too much like a tikra. But Beis Hillel Savri, given the batla v'chiyach shatikra psula, sula kalamigzar. But Beis Hillel would hold, no, once you're mevatlit and you show that you are aware that there's a problem of tasav lo menasui, so you're doing something, as long as you're doing an action, so then there's no more reason to be concerned about gzeras tikra. Once you're going out of your way to show that you know that this is a sukkah, and that because it's a sukkah, you have to treat it a little differently, so there's no reason to be concerned that the guy's going to end up sitting in his house. He's not going to end up sitting in his house. He knows that it's a sukkah. Whereas Rav Meir holds that there's no machlokas, and everyone, even Beis Hillel, would be gozer. But that's the machlokas. That's why we have a machlokas in our Mishnah, even though everyone agrees that four tefach wide beams is generally going to be a problem, according to Shmuel, is generally going to be a psul. Now, there's a fascinating discussion in Poskim, which you would think has absolutely nothing to do with this, but the Poskim bring a raya from this Rashi, from this last line of the Gemara. Poskim discuss, when it comes to Pesach, there's a minag that Ashkenazim have that we do not eat kidneys on Pesach. Beis Yosef quotes from Agos Maimonios, where has kidneys connected to this, right? So Beis Yosef quotes from Agos Maimonios, two reasons why it is that we don't eat kidneys on Pesach. One is that since a lot of times there's grain mixed in with the beans, so there may be a piece or two of grain that are mixed in, so you may end up eating grain, you may end up eating one of the chametz minim, you may end up eating chametz. And the second reason is that people often make bread out of kidneys. They'll make rice bread or something, and that looks a lot like regular bread, so we don't want to use anything that could be mistaken in any way whatsoever with a grain. So the post can have a major discussion. Okay, you're not allowed to use kidneys. What about shemen kidneys? What about corn syrup? This was a major machlokas. Now, no Ashkacha allows it anymore, but it was a major machlokas. The Rov Poskim at some point seemed to assume that it was mutter, that there's no problem with that which comes from kidneys. But so what about May kidneys? So in Tshuvas Be'er Yitzchak, he says that we should be matir shemen hanasami kidneys, as long as you pulled out all the grains of tevua, any grain, all the little pieces of tevua from before Pesach. And the reason for that there is that even though there's still always a chashash that maybe you didn't get every last bit of grain out of the mixture, and there's still one gargir of tevua somewhere in there, but still, once you grind it up on Erev Pesach and you turn it into a product, you turn it into oil, so it's a tarovus of lach belach. And even though chametz bePesach is aser b'mashehu, but before Pesach you could be mevatel chametz, so it's batel b'shishim. And also, you don't have to worry about the second concern that you might mix this up for other minei dagan, that you might, since people make bread out of rice or people make bread out of corn, that you're going to mix it up with other minei dagan, because he says sukkah daf tesvav. What does that have to do with that? Why don't you have to be concerned? Because once you do something to show that you recognize that this is different, then you're demonstrating that you're not going to be concerned that people will confuse it with something else anymore. Just like in our Rashi over here, Rashi explained that the Gemara is saying that once you do something to address the Tasav Lomanasui problem, by getting up and shaking each and every board, you're addressing the Tasav Lomanasui problem. You now no longer have to be concerned that people are going to confuse this roof for a regular roof, because you're showing that you appreciate that this is a sukkah, that this is not a regular roof. Well, if we require you to go through all of the corn or all of the rice and pull out every little piece of grain before Pesach, so that maisa itself of being mevara, of being borer, the chitim, that maisa itself is going to be the reminder that this is not regular bread, that this is not one of the chameshes minei dagar, and mainly you don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, one could have argued that maybe there's a difference, that maybe when it comes to sukkah, the concern, as we said before, is primarily for the person himself who's making the sukkah, because he's making his own sukkah. So the concern is that he he's going to get confused between this and Tikras Abayis. So when he does something, he's showing that he's not going to confuse this with Tikras Abayis, that he appreciates that this is a sukkah. But when you have somebody in a factory pulling out pieces of wheat, and then I just get a finished product at the end of the day with the kidneys in it, so is that going to help me remember that this is not like regular grain? That's a lechora. It only helps for the person who's actually doing it. So maybe by sukkah, where the person who's actually doing it is likely the person who's going to be sitting in the sukkah, who we are concerned about, that the whole gezeira was made for, so maybe it would address that problem, but otherwise it would not address the problem. Anyway, but that's the tshuva of the Bari Yitzchak, and people accept that. A lot of the later poskim accepted the tshuva of David Tzvi Hafman and Lamed Lahoil, and others accepted the tshuva of the Bari Yitzchak, and they thought that make kidneys is mutter. Others disagreed, and obviously our minog is that we are machmir about that issue. For one reason or another. Okay, so new Mishnah. Mishnah on the bottom of Tezvav Amalaf now. Hamakaru sukaso b'shvudin oba aruchas hamita. If a person if a person roofs his sukkah over with shvudin, with spits, which are a kli, or with aruchas hamita, with the sides of a bedpost, im yesh revach b'nein kamosan, so these are pasul schach. So im yesh revach b'nein kamosan kshera. If you leave the amount of space that is equal to the amount of space that they take up in between them, and you fill that with schach kasher, so then it's kasher. Essentially, if you have 50% schach kasher and 50% schach pasul, you're good. That's fine, as long as you have 50% schach kasher also. Hachotit begadish lasos lo sukkah in a sukkah. That we're not going to get to today, but the Gemara's discussion of it, but we've already mentioned this concept, that if you have a pile of sticks, and you hollow out in that giant pile of sticks an area that's, by digging out an area that's 7x7 tefachim and 10 tefachim high, so that's not a sukkah. That's a problem of Tassav Lomanasli. We had the whole discussion whether it's a problem of Tassav Lomanasli or a problem of Gzera Sotzer, but it's certainly problematic. It's not a good sukkah. So says Gemara on the first line of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah had said that if you have 50% schach kasher and 50% schach pasul, so you're totally fine. The sukkah's good. Lema tavi tiyufta de Rafuna Brei Rav Yeshua. Shouldn't this be a tiyufta on Rafuna Brei Rav Yeshua de Itmar? Because in a totally different context, when discussing the halachos of mechitzos of Shabbos, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua said, "Paritz ka'omed, Rav Papa Amar Mutter, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Amar Aser." That if it's exactly 50-50, we need omed merubal aparitz. You need more wall than open space in order for the wall to be kosher. What if it's exactly 50-50? So that's the machlokas. Rav Papa says that's fine if it's exactly 50-50, and that would be great for our mission also, because we're saying that the schach is fine if it's exactly 50-50. So Rav Papa's great. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, however, says that it's aser. Exactly 50-50 is no good. So how come in our Mishnah we're perfectly okay with it being exactly 50-50? Now, before we actually get to the answer to that question, it's important to realize that this is a sugya that we're going to have later on in Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, and whatever we do with this Gemara, it's got to fit with the sugya on Chav Beis Amud Beis. The sugya on Chav Beis Amud Beis is going to ask a stira between two Mishnayis. We have Mishnah and Daf Beis Amud Aleph that we already mentioned that said that in order for a sukkah to be kosher, you need chamsum rum mitzilsi. You need more chama than tzel. You need more sunlight. You need more, I'm sorry, that it's possible of chamsum rum mitzilsi. You need more shade than sunlight. If you have more sunlight than shade, it's possible. So, but the way it phrases it is, more sunlight than shade is possible, which implies that if it's 50-50, it's kosher. And yet we have another Mishnah, Sosim Rum Chamsa is kosher, which sounds like if it's Shaveh, it's possible. So the Gemara asks that stira. Then in one place it phrases it as 51% sunlight is possible, in the other place it phrases it as 51% shade is kosher. So it has opposite mashmalos about what do you do if it's 50-50. So the Gemara over there answers, no, there's a big difference. Kan lamala, kan lamata. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? Lamala means that if it's paritz ka'omed on the schach level, then it's pasul, and lamata, if it's paritz ka'omed, it's kasher. The reason is as follows, that when it's that when the sun shines in to an area, the chamas mispashetes, it spreads out on the ground more than it is on the top level. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa adds, Hainu Darmi Inchi, Kezuza Mil El, Ki Istara Mil Tachas, that that's what people say, that if it's like the size of a zuz on the top, it's going to be the size of an isar of a larger coin on the bottom, that when the sun shines through, it shines in with bigger sunlight. So that's right. But it sounds like Rav Papa agrees that if it's exactly part of its called made on the schach level, that it's possible, because you can have too much sunlight on the bottom. That if it's 50-50 on the schach level, that it's possible. And yet, what does Rav Papa say over here? By Erev, he says, mutter, right? Rav Papa Amar mutter. Rav Papa's one that says that it's mutter by an Erev, and we have no problem with Rav Papa. We're saying, yeah, and that's why Rav Papa's going to hold that if it's exactly 50-50 by a sukkah, that it's kosher. Isn't that a steer in Rav Papa? So that's why several Rishonim don't like the whole approach of Rashi in that Gemara. And they say that kan milamala, kan milamata means something else. Kan milamala means if a person is standing milamala and he sees that it's 50-50, then it's mutter. But if a person only from the perspective of the bottom is looking up and sees that it's 50-50 and sees that it's parutz kolmeid, then it's going to be possible, because from a distance the parutz seems like it's 50-50 with the omeid, even when it's meruba ala omeid. So that's what the Gemara means to say over there, according to several Rishonim. The Rush is just Miyashiv Shitas Rashi and says there's a big difference. That which were makshir parutz kolmeid is only when there's schach kosher next to schach pasul. That's what Rav Papa is saying is kosher, when there's both schach kosher and schach pasul. Maybe when there's avir and schach, then you need cell to be meruba. Then you need more shade than sunlight. Maybe there's a difference between avir versus schach pasul. But anyway, so the Gemara is asking, according to Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, that if it's 50-50, it's aser. How do you understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah seemed to say im yesh revach b'nein kimosan, that it needs to be exactly like the same amount of space as the schach pasul, and that's perfectly fine. So I'm not Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. My kimosan b'nichnas v'yotzei. No, kimosan means that you leave wiggle room also, that you have to be able to fit in new schach puzzle in between the boards, so it leaves, say, it's not 50%, it's 51% schach kasher, 49% schach puzzle. I've efshal tzamtzim, but isn't it efshal tzamtzim? Meaning we're assuming that that when we said benichmas v'yotzei, is that what we meant is that chances are if you try to leave kamosan, you're going to end up leaving a little bit more than kamosan, you're going to end up leaving a little bit extra space. So the Gemara says, no, but va'efshal the tzamtzim. Who says you're going to leave a little bit of extra space? It's possible to get it exactly right, to get it exactly 50-50, so maybe you can actually end up with exactly 50-50. So says Gemara, am Rabbi Ami b'ma'adif. And Rabbi Ami explains, the case is that we're ma'adif, meaning you leave a little extra space, that you actually purposely leave a little extra space. It could be that it's efshal the tzamtzim, that if you wanted to make it 50-50, you could. But that's our Mishnah means that you don't leave literally kamosan, you leave a little bit extra, you leave a little more than kamosan. Rava amar afilu teb b'shein ma'adif. Rava says, even if you do it exactly 50-50, ima yinosan shesi nosan arev, arev nosan shesi, but you run the schach kasher across the top of the schach pasul. So if the schach pasul is running east-west, the schach kasher is going to run across it, running north-south. And the reason that that's helpful is that the schach kasher not only fills in all of the area in between the schach pasul, but it also rests on the schach pasul a little bit also. So you're going to end up, by definition, with a little more schach kasher than you have schach pasul, because there's the overlap area. There's 50% of the area that is only schach kasher, and then there's a little bit of area where there's overlap of both schach kasher and schach pasul. So you have a little bit of a majority of schach kasher more than schach pasul. And that's going to help over here. That's the even if you don't leave extra space in between the boards, the fact that you're putting schach kasher over the schach pasul is going to help to make it a rove of schach kasher. Oba Aruchas Amita. The Mishnah also mentioned that the bedposts are considered pasul schach. So lema mesei elel Rabbi Ami bar Tavyumi. This should be a right to Rabbi bar Tavyumi. Dham Rabbi Ami bar Tavyumi. Sicha bivloi kelim psula. That if you use kelim, that worn out kelim that used to be kelim and used to be mekabel tuma, even though now they're no longer functional kelim, it's still pasul because they were once mekabel tuma. So you see that the bed posts also, it's not a bed anymore. It's just a broken apart bed post and still we consider it to be pasul eschach, even though it's no longer mekabel tuma. So answer Gemara, Kedam Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Baruch Hu Shtei Kra'ayim B'Ktsaru Shtei Kra'ayim. Hachanayim Baruch Hu Shtei Kra'ayim B'Ktsaru Shtei Kra'ayim. We're not talking about a bed that's completely ripped apart into little tiny pieces. That we're talking about a bed that still has two of the legs and one side of the bed. So it has, since there are three walls of the bed that are still functional, there's a way to make that bed work. How could you make that bed work? So the Gemara explains, where was this statement originally made? In the Mishnah it says the following, Rabbi Elazar holds a bed can only become tame if it's a single unit, if it's still together, and also if you need to put it in the mikvah to be metaharit, you have to be metaharit as a single unit. But the Chum say it could even become tame, and it could also become tahar when it's in pieces. Maini, who? What do we mean in pieces? If it has three sides of it intact, what could you use it for? It's missing one side, it's going to fall right down. You could push it up against the wall, and the wall will support it on the fourth side, and then you could run strings across it and put a mattress on that and still sleep on the bed, as long as you have a wall. You drill it in, I would assume you have to drill it into the wall, but you'd have to push it up against the wall, and the wall will be the support on the fourth side. So that's the kind of Aruchas Amita that we might be talking about. Aruchas Amita that could still be functional as a bed if you push it up against the wall, and that's going to be possible for sukkah. Okay.